وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How is everybody doing? Welcome to Alhamdulillah, another part of Steps to Arabic, or our restart to Steps to Arabic. Alhamdulillah, in Mubarak to you all. Really good to see you all again. Alhamdulillah, really nice to, well, see you all at least, you know, like visually. See you all on Zoom. really nice to be back together. Eid Mubarak. Taqabbal Allahu minna wa minkum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you and from us. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. It has been a different, as I'm sure, Eid for everybody. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us to experience it. And it's his blessing, because Allah says about Eid that, you know, وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَذَاكُمْ. Allah has made Eid for us so that we can glorify him on Eid because of the fact that he has guided us. So this is actually, you know, something we, despite the difficulties, we are still thankful to Allah for. Alhamdulillah. I am just going to share my screen with you quickly here. Alhamdulillah. Anybody who is brand new here, who wasn't with us before, just if you can quickly maybe drop a message. There were a few people who had joined in brand new. Brother Asif, okay. MashaAllah, Brother Asif. But he's driving. Okay, thank you for the ride. Is he driving and taking the class? That's kind of dangerous. I wouldn't condone that behavior. okay. May Allah make it easy. Barakallahu feekum. Okay, alhamdulillah. So yeah, this is also welcome to you, to everybody. Here's what we have planned for today, inshallah. Let me share my screen. All right, there we are. Familiar territory. Microsoft Word doc and my face. That's your familiar territory. You're back to that. And for us all, alhamdulillah. But now we have this. Today we have the following things that we're going to do, inshallah. We are going to do a small warm-up, okay? The warm-up is important because this is something we have to learn. How to stop and then restart. Anything that's long, anything that's fruitful, this is a very key aspect of it, to figure out how is it that we take a break because we need a break, or we're forced to take a break, and then how is it that we restart. I think anything worthwhile in life, that's a very important skill to have for that, and Arabic is no different. If I was to jump straight into alladhi, you might get, you know, like you might be harmed. Not physically, but your spirits might be damped by that experience. So we need to warm up, okay? The example would be like, so I live in Canada. So those of us who live in cold countries, we know what that's like to start a cold car. If you just start it and start running it, you're asking for trouble, but you need to let it warm up a little bit before you, you know, go on your way. So our car has been parked for a month and a bit. It's kind of gotten cold. So now we have to warm it up. The strategy I was thinking about this was using du'as from Surah Al-Baqarah. Okay, frozen. Oh, brother Danish, man, this guy. All right. So I've gotten a lot of your tests. My apologies for not responding to your questions about tests. Sister Rima, you sent me a few emails. I'm so sorry for not responding to them. But your tests, inshallah, this is like my to-do list for this week, to go through your tests and send you your final results, inshallah ta'ala. So my apologies for not being very, very good with that. But Ramadan was a lot of interesting things happening. Allah musta'an. I thought it was going to be a slow Ramadan. It turned out to be anything but that. Alhamdulillah, we ask, thank Allah for all that. So warm up with du'as. That's what we're going to do. And then we're going to do al-lathi, inshallah. two main things for today. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The du'as that we'll do are from Surah Al-Baqarah. What's the first du'a in the Qur'an? Qur'an trivia. Anybody? The first du'a in the Qur'an, sequentially. Surah Fatiha. Yes, of course, Surah Al-Fatiha. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. That was not supposed to be a trick question, but Surah Fatiha, definitely. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. But we'll do the du'as from Surah Al-Baqarah. Okay? There's four du'as in Surah Al-Baqarah. We'll do three of them, inshallah. Okay? Ready? All right, alhamdulillah. Okay, the first one we find is the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Okay, the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail as well, his son Ismail. Let us crack open the tanzeel.net. We are taking a Maghrib break. Yes, of course. Yes, yes. We will be taking a Maghrib break, inshallah, for those of us who have to pray Maghrib, inshallah. Okay, so this is Ibrahim alayhi salam's, this is the passage of Ibrahim alayhi salam in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is presenting Ibrahim alayhi salam as like the role model for the ummah, right? Like he is the manifestation of going through difficulties and passing all his difficulties in the most perfect way, right? Like look at what Allah says in his introduction to Ibrahim. He says, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ There, that's better. When his Lord tested Abraham with certain commands, فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ And he fulfilled them. أَتَمَّ يُتِمُّ That's the fi'il. أَتَمَّهُنَّ He fulfilled them. So Ibrahim al-Islam is introduced as like the role model. إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا I'm going to make you a leader for mankind. Now, this is Ibrahim al-Islam. So as part of what Allah shows it means to be like a role model, someone to look up to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the dua of Ibrahim al-Islam here. And this dua is made in the middle of an action. What is the action that Ibrahim al-Islam is doing as he's making this dua? What is it, O people? I just realized there is Teddy here. Teddy can move to a corner, inshallah. All right, there. He is building or rebuilding the Kaaba. You look at the ayah itself, it says وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ يَرْفَعُ means to رَفَعَ يَرْفَعُ means to مرفوع to raise, yes الرَّافِعَ الْمَرْفُوعَ to raise يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ translate please يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ would be Ibrahim is, or Ibrahim raised or raising. Yarfa'u is raises or raising, present tense, right? Because this is a present tense fi'il, yes or no? Ibrahim is raising what, right? This is the fa'il, Ibrahim is the fa'il. What is he raising? That is the maf'ul. Al-qawa'ida. Al-qawa'ida is the foundations, right? Qa'ida or is the foundation. And al-qawa'id is the plural of that, foundations. People, are you with me? He is raising the foundations. Min al-bayt, min means from. Al-bayti, the house. Al-bayt refers in the Quran quite frequently, if not exclusively to. To what? The Kaaba, right? Okay. So when Ibrahim is raising the foundations from the Kaaba, i.e. the foundations are already there, Ibrahim as-salam is raising them. And one of the interpretations of this is that the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set its foundations when he had made the earth. And that was a sacred place since the beginning of time. But then Sayyidina Ibrahim as-salam came and raised the foundation of the Kaaba. All right. Wa Ismailu and Ismail. So Ibrahim and Ismail are raising the foundations from the house. You guys get that part? The dua comes after that, but first you get the context of the dua. Right? Can you tell me what is Ismailu grammatically here? Wa Ismailu. Can someone maf'ul? That would mean that Ibrahim is raising Ismail. That wouldn't work in this ayah. Connected. Ahsanta, brother Raid. That's Fazana. Right? So it's connected to who? Or Ibrahimu. There we go, right? You see Ibrahimu and Ismailu are connected, aren't they? So Ibrahim and Ismail are raising the foundations from the house. You with me? Now the question that you might be wondering is, why is Ismail so far down in the sentence? Why not wa idh yarfa'u Ibrahimu wa Ismailu al-qawa'ida min al-bayt? Why is Ismailu at the end here? Well, because if Ismail alayhi salam, of course, is a very important person, but who is this passage about? Who's the focus of this passage? Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? You saw how the passage began talking about Ibrahim. The passage will continue to say, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَمْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ. Who but a foolish person will turn away from the religion of Abraham? So again, the focus of this passage is who? Ibrahim alayhi salam. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defers Ismail's name to the end of the sentence to make sure you don't lose sight of the fact that the person who was doing this was Ibrahim, and the one who was helping him was Ismail. They weren't like co-equals in this task. The man raising response, the house was being built by Ibrahim, helped in this process by Ismail. Is that point clear, inshallah? Now the dua. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sami'ul alim. Let's go to the dua now. I feel it's important to understand the context of a dua to actually understand like why is it so like important. Okay, Rabbana, what does Rabbana mean, O people? Rabbana means what, O people? Rabbana means our Lord. Is this somebody who can't get into the class? No, right? Okay, alhamdulillah, everyone's good. Our Lord. Excellent. Ahsantum. Okay. Taqabbal. Taqabbal. Except, okay, now I'm going to tell you this is a command tense. So can you ahsanti, sister Wadad. Taqabbal, it would be you accept. Right? You accept. Taqabbal is a family that we haven't explored too much, but this is family number 5 actually. The root letters of taqabbal is qaf, ba, and lam. You might notice that R2 ba has a shadda, but also there is an extra tha added here for the purposes of this family. Taqabbal, you accept. All right. Minna, what does minna mean? Minna is from us. Ahsantum, well done. From us. Okay. Innaka. Innaka. Indeed you. Mashallah. Ahsantum. Anta. I should do this, huh? There. Anta means You, okay? Is there a repetition there? It's emphasis. Ahsant. It is emphasis. Where are we? Sorry. Anta. As-sami'u. As-sami'u. I kind of gave that away, but that's okay. As-sami'u. The all-hearing, right? The sami' seen mim ayn is the root letter. And then that's where we get sami' Allahu liman hamida. Allah hears to the one who praises him. In fact, hears there means to respond, hear and respond. And that's why as-sami' the name is used in the dua, because we affirm that Allah hears our dua and is going to respond to our dua. As-sami' the all-hearing. Al-alim, the all-knowing, alhamdulillah, right? So that's very good, mashallah. Jazakumullahu khair. That is really nice. We will look at a couple of these, these words in a bit of detail, shall we? Because that is going to allow us to do our review in a good way. All right? So I have Rabbana taqabbal minna. Rabbana is how many words? Rabbana is two words. Okay, very good. Then I have taqabbal is one word. Minna is how many words? Also two. So I have a total of 2, 3, 4, 5 words there. Okay. So let's add that here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words. Okay. Rabb. Now tell me, is it an ism, fi'il, or a harf? This is an ism. Very good. Okay. Na. What is na? Ism, fi'il, harf. Also an ism. Very nice. And this is in fact an ism, a special type of ism. It is a attached pronoun. Right? Namir. Very good. Okay. Taqabbal is what? Ism, fi'il, or harf? Taqabbal is a fi'il. And what type of fi'il is it actually? It is a command tense fi'il. Very nice. Command. Okay. Min is a? It's a harf. Very nice. And na is? The same as this na, right? Ism, attached pronoun. Correct? So far, so good. Okay, very good. What are the four properties of the ism here? Whoa, what happened there? Four, status. Rabbana, Rabba. What is the status of Rabba? Status of Rabba is mansub. Okay, very good. Okay, number. Ahsantum, singular. Sorry, I don't know what's happening today. I can't type at all. Singular. Okay, third one. Gender. Thank you. Masculine. And fourthly, type. Okay, we have some khilaf between the students here. All right, well, let us go here. Rabbana. What is Rabbana grammatically? Rabba and na. What is Rabba? It is a mudaf. And the na is mudaf ilayhi. Excellent. Ahsantum. Okay, this is what we have. When you have a pronoun that attaches to an ism, you have what? Mudaf ilayhi, right? Mudaf and mudaf ilayhi. Perfect. Excellent. Ahsantum. Jazakumullahu khairan. Okay. Now, let's look at for the mudaf, the type is determined by the type of the mudaf ilayhi. What is the type of mudaf ilayhi? It is definite. So the type of this would be also definite. There we go, right? And of course, the pronouns or the, if you're to the ism, the properties of ism here, na would be what? Status of na. Majroor, right? Why majroor? Mudaf ilayhi, ahsantum. Number two. Number is our Lord. Rabbana, our Lord. Plural, right? Because it's na, our, right? How about the gender? So you might remember when you were doing the pronouns, you know, like Rabbu, or says to Rabbahu, Rabbahuma, Rabbahum, Rabbaha, Rabbahuma, Rabbahunna, Rabbaka, Rabbakuma, Rabbakum. Some of these, Rabbaka, the ka is definitely masculine. Kuma could be masculine or feminine, right? Then I have Rabbi, yeah, and Rabbuna or Rabbana, na. It is actually used for both masculine and feminine, isn't it? Right? And number four. This is, I think, obvious. Definite. Okay, ahsantum. Very good, mashallah. Taqabbal is a fi'l. Command tense. What is the fa'il? How do we determine mudaf ilayhi? It was definite. Pronouns by default are definite. All pronouns are always definite. Okay? This is why it is definite. Right? But yeah. Okay. Fa'il, I have a fa'il. Right? I have to have a fa'il. What is my fa'il? This one is hard, so I'll give it to you. Hidden pronoun. So you accept, right? You accept. For command tense, if you remember, it has been you, right? Now, we go ahead and pronoun you. MashaAllah, Jazakumullah khairan. That is very good. Okay. Taqabbal, we got it. Now, min is a harf. What specific type of harf? Harf jar, right? Brother Saud is asking about, isn't this a masculine based on context? Well, we're just looking at it strictly as a pronoun. The pronoun could be for both genders, right? That's why we write it like that, right? And also, it's how is it used? That's the question that we're trying to get at, right? Okay, harf jar. And then na is what? People? After harf jar, ism majroor. I was worried for a moment there. Harf jar followed by that always is going to be always after it is ism majroor. Right? Alhamdulillah. All right. So that is that. Yes? No problem. It's going to warm up. Don't worry. Don't worry, inshallah. It's warming up. So, harf jar ism majroor. Now, you see, this is our table, right? Harf jar attaches to a pronoun. It becomes ism majroor. Correct? Okay. Now, innaka. Inna is a ism fi'l or harf. Inna is a... Inna is a harf nasb, right? Inna is a harf nasb. Yes or no? The ka, that's all right. Ka is what? Ism fi'l harf. It's an ism. What type of ism? Attach pronoun. Very good. Attach pronoun. Okay, excellent. If it inna is harf nasb and the attached pronoun attaches to it, what is the grammatical position or role of ka? Somebody said it beforehand. I'd like to see if someone else can say it too. Ism inna, ahsantum, ism inna. And that's the third of the fourth rows here, right? This is the, or the fourth row here. Ism inna, harf nasb attaches to it a pronoun, it becomes ism inna. Very nice, mashallah, mashallah. All right, very cool. Let's continue on. Anta is a, obviously, ism fi'il harf. Anta is an ism. And this is what type of pronoun? Stand alone pronoun, right? Stand alone pronoun. I'm going to write it like that. Okay. As-sami' is... Ism fi'al harf, it's a ism. And al, oh, as-sami' is two as-sami', that's incorrect. Al-alim is what? Ism as well. Okay, very cool. MashaAllah. So I have harf nasb and ism inna. And you know, like, its properties are not that different. Ka, if you were to like list out the properties for me, right, what is the status of this ka? Oh, but look at what's attached to your brother Danish. Try again. It's mansub, right? Because it's attached to harf nasb. Status is mansub. Okay. Then what else? It is number ka singular. Very nice. Huh? Gender masculine, right? Ka is actually for masculine, and then it is obviously going to be definite. Very nice, alhamdulillah. So that's just a quick recap of the properties of ism, a little bit of mudaf, mudaf ilayhi, a little bit of pronouns. Let us get into the next ayah, inshallah. Okay, there's obviously more to review, but I want to also expose ourselves to more of the words, inshallah, more vocabulary. I'm going to, inshallah, start focusing on more vocabulary acquisition, because I feel now it's a point for you all where you have to dedicate some time memorizing words from the Quran and their meaning. Okay, because without that, the concepts that are to come will become very difficult. Okay, and in fact, the whole point of like learning this is so that you can understand it, right? But when you have the vocab at your disposal, it's like now you have the tools to play with, right? You have the knowledge, but if you don't have the tools, you can't do anything. The vocab gives you the tools. Now, what I'll, you know, I'm still trying to figure out how we'll go about it. I'm tempted to go the route of like a Google form, even though it's not like the best, unfortunately. But it's a simple way of doing things, inshallah. Google Forms has gotten a little better, so we might end up utilizing that, inshallah. And that way you can, it'll just be, I think it might be just from strictly from du'as or certain ayat that we're learning, okay? I'm still trying to figure out like what's the most optimal way to acquire vocabulary for us, for like students of Quran who are not like able to dedicate a lot of time. Du'as is a possibility because du'as, the words repeat a lot. Rabbana, Atina, all these words repeat a lot in the du'as. But the problem with du'as is it's all fi'il, you know, like command tense, right? It doesn't have other types of fi'il. Do you see? So we have to kind of figure it out. I don't want to use ayat that people don't like know and they don't read frequently, and then it's like more difficult to memorize that, right? So we'll try to figure out the best way, but please stay tuned for that. But this is something that is going to become a focus for the next months, inshallah, for us. This month of June and July, inshallah. Okay, and then until we finish, inshallah. The challenge is choosing the right types of ayat that have enough frequently used words and have enough, like if it's just a list of words, it's too difficult. It's in fact too boring, right? Enough words and something that's interesting enough, all right, for you to learn. Okay. Some words from each place, that's a good idea as well. We'll figure it out, inshallah ta'ala, and I'll keep you posted. But for now, let's keep going. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابًا. This is also in Surah Baqarah, Surah number 200, ayah number, 201. Okay? All right. رَبَّنَا. What does رَبَّنَا mean, O people? رَبَّنَا means our Lord. Okay? Do you notice that رَبَّنَا, Rabba, there is what status again? Mansub. Is there a reason for it to be Mansub? There is a reason. Definitely there's a reason. But what is the reason? That, inshallah, we'll study when we get to our Ajrumiya study, inshallah ta'ala. Okay? But I just wanted to kind of give you all. Just that heads up. Notice, Rabbana, Rabba is Mansub, always here. Huh? All right. Next word, Atina. Atina. Now, Ati is the fi'il. Ati is the fi'il. If I was to separate it, it's like this. Ati, like that. You see? That's the fi'il. What does Ati mean? It means to give, right? So this is a command tense. Command tense. Okay. Now, translate atina with the command tense in mind, please. Very nice. You give us, right? Atina, you give us. Are we commanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course not. But the command tense is used in dua. Command tense is used in dua as a request. Okay. Also, what we find is du'as are also sometimes in the past tense. Okay. Past tense, like barakallahu fika. May, so it's literally Allah blessed you. That's literally the translation of it. But what you're saying is, may Allah bless you. Jazakallahu khayran. Allah gave you khair. What you're saying is, may Allah give you khair. Okay? So that is that other way of doing so in the past tense. All right? Now, but here in the Quran, we have in this case a command tense being used here. Okay? Okay, fi, what does fi mean? He's in. Very good. Ad-dunya. Ad-dunya. Is it this world or the world? It is the world, right? It is the world. Ad-dunya. And of course, it's referring to this present life of the world. Okay. Hasanatan. What does hasanatan mean? Good. Good goodness and good blessings, all that is good meaning. Hasana is something that is good. Wa and fi in al-akhirati. Al-akhirati. The hereafter. The hereafter. Very good. Okay. Hasanatan means good again. Wa means and. Now, qina. Qi is your fi'il. Qi is your fi'il, which means to save. Okay? Qi, that's literally one letter. Qi. That is protect or save. Okay? Now, How would you translate qina, knowing its command tense? You save us, or you protect us. Very nice. Adaba, what is adaba? Punishment. An-nari, the fire of hell. Okay. All right. That is very good. Mashallah. Barakallahu fikum. All right. Let's look at this. Adab an-nari. What is the grammatical construct here? Mulaf and mulaf ilayhi. Okay. An-nar. I said the adab is the punishment, right? So where am I getting this da from? Because the mudaf ilayhi is definite annari. Ahsant. Excellent. Okay. Let's look at this word. Ad-dunya. What is the status of the word dunya? The status of the word dunya is majroor. Why is this majroor? Because it's isim majroor, right? Harf jarfi and then dunya is isim majroor. Very nice. Okay, very good. What about al-akhirati? What is the status of al-akhirati? Same thing. It is majroor because of the same reason. Ad-dunya, I am not able to see the kasra on it. Why is that? Why am I not able to see kasra on dunya when I can see kasra on akhirah? There's no philosophical like akhirah has a kasra, dunya has no kasra. Dunya is like temporary, akhirah is perfect. No, brother, no. What's the grammar reason? It is mabni, ahsantum, ahsantum. Mat mamnu' mamnu' min as-sarf, that is banned from tanween. This is actually mabni. So it doesn't show its change at all. That is the idea behind ad-dunya. One of the ways something becomes mabni? By the alif, whether it is a big alif or a little alif. Can you give me an example of a word that has a big alif, a little alif, that is also mabni? Musa, excellent. Can someone please give me an example of a word that has a big alif and it is mabni? Think about that one. Dunya. Besides dunya. Sorry, who is this Manel? Is this a new person? I don't know. I can't recognize your name from beforehand. Or is it like a username? Oh, Salim. Now we know you're the bearded caterpillar. It's you. I was like, you know, it's a sister. You know, I don't recognize this name. Who is this? Oh man! And I was gonna say, where's the Salim? Right, but there we go. Mashallah. All right, you're logged in with your sister, your daughter's account. No problem. Inshallah, you can change it. By the way, you can rename yourself. all right. The question is another example of this is hadha. Hadha. Remember, hadha was another example of that. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so that is Mabni and Mu'rab. Mabni and Mu'rab, that is one important thing that we had to learn. Now let's go to another, the next ayah. The next one, the next dua is quite a bit longer. Alright? Alright, this is at the very end of the surah. Ayah number 286, if I'm not mistaken, the last ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah. How does it go? It starts by La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Right? But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the dua of the believers. And that is a nice, beautiful like symmetry there, because what does Surah Baqarah begin with? Like what's in the very beginning of Surah Baqarah? I know Alif Lam Mim, but after that. Before Rasul Salim says that. no, what's the topic? The Quran for sure, but what else in the very beginning? Guidance from Muttaqeen, very good. I don't want to display it to you. I want to see if you can kind of remember. It's a description of the believers, right? Muttaqeen. There we go, right? Oh, there we go. It's believers. Believers, munafiqeen, and disbelievers. Yes, yes. Jazakallah khair. It's the believers are at the very beginning, right? So Allah talks about them, muttaqeen, alladhina yu'minuna bil ghayb wa yuqimuna as-salah wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun, all that beautiful things. And now the surah concludes by the dua of the believers, right? In fact, the ayah before says, amana ar-rasul bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi wal mu'minun. The messenger has believed in what Allah has revealed to him, and so do the believers. So it began by talking about like iman, right? Yu'minuna bil ghayb. At the end, talks about what is iman bil ghayb. You know, it is kullun amana billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi la nufarriqu bayna ahadin min rusuli. That's iman. But then also, what is iman? What does iman bring you to? It brings you to dua, doesn't it? So the surah ends with dua of the believers. Subhanallah. That's a beautiful dua, and that's why we're encouraged to make this dua every night. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, man qara'aha kafatahu, aw kama qala Rasulullah, whoever reads these two ayat, kafatahu, these two ayat will be enough for him or her. Meaning that these two ayat will now replace the need to, or if a person doesn't pray qiyamul layl or tahajjud, these two ayat have kind of taken care of that for him. Subhanallah, that's how powerful they are. Now, Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina aw akhtana. This dua is one of the central pieces of this these two ayat, these beautiful ayat that are in a narration that were revealed when a special angel came down at a special time, who had never come down before from a door in the sky that had never opened before. Very, very special. Okay, what is the dua? Rabbana. Rabbana means what? Our Lord. Our Lord. Let me just move this guy here. Okay. La. La is? Ahsanti, sister Thamar, and everybody else. Don't. This is for negating. This is like, excuse me. This is for forbidding. This is for forbidding. Don't. La, don't. Tu'akhidna. Tu'akhidna. The root letters are Hamza, Kha, and Tha. These are the three root letters of the word. Tu'akhidna. The root letters are Hamza. Is this a waw or a Hamza? The one that I've just highlighted. It's a Hamza, right? Good, alhamdulillah. But it sits on a waw. That's how Hamza is. It you know, does what it wants, largely. Akhada is the fi'l for family one, which means to take something. And akhada is family three, which means to take someone to account. Akhada is to take somebody to account, to take them to task. Okay. So, la tu'akhidna. Please translate this sentence here. Do not take us to account. Ahsantum. Well done. Don't you take us to task, right? Or take us to account. Change it to account. Yes. In. The word in, if you might remember, this was what we studied in the very early parts of the fi'il mudari', the present tense fi'il. The harf of jazm, it is actually, it means if. Ahsanti, sister, without. In means if. It's a harf. Okay? Nasina. Now, this harf does some strange things. So the translation might be a little strange, but right now our purpose isn't to focus on that. Our purpose is to try to, you know, see as many words as we can and try to pick up as much vocab as we can. And then I'll go through and sprinkle in some review. All right? So, in means if nasina. Now, you can see this is a past tense fail. I hope when I explain this to you, noon, seen, ya is your root letters. Just like if I was to do like dhahabna, nasina, it means to forget. But now the pronoun na here is the fa'il. So nasina will be what? We forget. Okay? Excellent. If in nasina, we forget. Aw means or. Aw is or. أخطأنا. أخطأنا for the root letters خ, ط, and همزة. These are the root letters. This is family 4 actually. أخطأ. What is the meaning of that? Mistakes. أخطأ is to make a mistake. Now, أخطأنا. Please translate أخطأنا. I'm just highlighting the root letters here. Noon, seen, yeah. We make mistakes, right? Or we make mistakes. Excellent. So the first part of the dua is Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina aw akhtana. Our Lord, don't take us to account, right? If we forget or make a mistake. Forgetting is what? Forgetting is like if a person forgot that it's time to pray and then it is time passed. That's a forgetful, that's a person who forgot, and that there is no sin on that. Akhta'a is a person who maybe they did remember, but maybe they slept through the salah, right? It was not like if they were awake, they would pray, but they, you know, fell asleep, or maybe they misplanned their day and couldn't wake up. Akhta'na, they made a mistake. In both cases, we're asking Allah, oh Allah, don't take us to task for this. Okay? So this is a beautiful dua. Like, you know, this I think covers all of our errors. It's either done by like forgetfulness. Like forgetfulness isn't that we didn't realize, even oblivious, right? Nasina could also be for someone who is like just oblivious to something. أو أخطأنا, or we just made a mistake. We just didn't, you know, we made a wrong choice. Okay? أخطأ is actually a past tense fail. نسينا is also a past tense fail. However, the reason why it's we forget and remake is because of in. That's a more advanced topic. I would like to not talk about it today because I think that might be peeling the onion too fast. Okay. It's a very beautiful dua. What the dua doesn't cover is if somebody intentionally, with intent, makes a mistake, right? Or does something wrong. That is not covered in this dua. That is something that, you know, it's like a blatant, it's like a rebellion. And that's not actually included in that, in this dua. Okay. We can take a break, inshallah. Let's finish this. We have, it is 8:56. You know, subhanAllah, in London, we don't have Maghrib just yet. How about we take a break at 9? Is that okay? Inshallah. Khair, inshallah. Rabbana. What's Rabbana? Our Lord. Again, you notice Rabbana is Mansub, right? Right? Good. Okay. Wa is... And la is do not. Tahmil has the meaning of carrying something. Tahmil also has the meaning of laying something on somebody, right? As like a responsibility, so they carry it. All right. So here in this case, the meaning is to lay, right? So you lay, tahmil, you lay. Do not lay alayna. Alayna, mashallah, upon us. Isran is not a very frequent word in the Quran. This only comes 3 times in the Quran. It means a burden. Isran is a burden. But specifically, it's the burden of in the sense of following the divine law. Following the Sharia, the burden of following the divine law, of following the religion. Okay, so don't lay on us a burden. Kama is like that. Ahsant. Like that or like what? It could be translated as just as. Just as or like that. But literally, ma means what, right? So literally, ka. Like ma what? Okay. Hamaltahu. Now please translate hamaltahu. It's from the same root. Ha mim lam. Hamaltahu. Meaning lay. You laid. You laid on it close, Sister Halima. Close by Salim, but you see, Hamaltahu has like a Hamalta is you laid, but there's a who there as well, right? You laid it, Ahsantum. Okay, you laid it. In this case, the pronoun that's attached here, what is this pronoun? It's an attached pronoun, right? This is going to be the maf'ool. Right? When a pronoun, attached pronoun, attaches to a fa'il, it becomes a maf'ool. Correct? And that is what we have here. Maf'ool. Hamaltahu, you laid it. The fa'il is ta. Correct? You. The maf'ool is who? Fa'il, hamal, ta, fa'il, hu, maf'ul. Alright. Ala. On or upon, alhamdulillah. Very good. Alladhina. Alladina. Those is a good translation. The ones I'm looking, or the translation I'm looking for, is those who. Those who. And this is what we're going to study today, inshallah. Alladina, after the Maghrib break. Alladina, those who. Min, let's finish this part up till Qablina. Min means from. Okay. All right. How do I say in Arabic before? Before. Before is Qabla. Very good. How do I say after? After is Ba'da. Very good. Qablina would be what? Qablina would mean before us. Very good. From before us is an expression to say those who went before us. That's what from before us mean. Okay? Qabl is before, and the opposite of that is Ba'ad, which is after. All right. So we will pause here for a minute to go take a break for the Maghrib prayer, inshallah. And then we'll come back to finish this up. Jazakumullahu khairan. We'll be back shortly. I'll actually request everybody, if you can delay praying your sunnah until after the class. I know you're like, what? But there, you can pray it afterwards, inshallah. This is just as reward worthy, if not more, inshallah. Hey, Imam Malik said that to his students, all right? So he's like, pray your sunnah afterwards. Come to the hadith class first. So, all right. So we're going to do a Maghrib break, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. We're back, alhamdulillah. The people, can you hear me? All right, alhamdulillah. Thank you, Salima. Musa. All right. So what does the this dua actually, the second part of the dua, or the second dua, excuse me, in the ayah, what does it say? It says that, O Allah, our Lord, Rabbana, don't lay on us a burden like you laid upon the people before us. Okay. What is this referring to, the people before us? Who is that? Who is that, people? People before us. People of the past, that's correct. It would be Bani Israel specifically. Right, it's an allusion to Bani Israel, and there it makes sense because Surah Al-Baqarah has a lot of the analysis of what went wrong with Bani Israel, a lot of it. So, and then what Allah also says about Bani Israel in other parts of the Quran, and that was actually well known about them, was that Allah had put many difficulties in their religion as a result of their stubbornness, as a result of their rebellion. Okay, and that's Isr. That's what Allah describes as Isr. It's a burden that's of a religious nature. So we're asking Allah that in our Sharia, in our law that we're following, don't place any of that kind of difficulties upon us. And you know, alhamdulillah, like if you look at the Sharia that we have, has so many exceptions, so many lots of flexibility. If you compare it with like someone who has no faith, obviously there is more commitments here than for that person. But you compare that to the Jewish law, the law of the Torah, for example, there is it is so much more streamlined and simplified and made easy. You know, like the Jewish community has to pray, or at least the Bani Israeli theology was to, they could only pray in the specific temples that they had to have, and you know, the idea was that that's where God and the earth is, like, you know, Jannah and earth is like meeting at that place, and that's the only place you could pray, in the presence of God. We don't believe that. We believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above His throne, and the entire earth is a masjid. We pray to Allah wherever we are. If there was like a najis material on their clothes, they would have to cut that najis material off and throw it away. We don't have that. The people who worshipped the calf from Bani Israel, they were told that the tawbah for you is you have to kill yourself. This is in the Quran, and this is actually an established fact in Jewish history. For us, if a person does shirk, what is their tawbah? What is the tawbah of someone who does shirk? A Muslim person. Tawbah. That's astaghfirullah. Repeat the shahada. No. Say astaghfirullah. Say the shahada again. Off you go. You're forgiven. Right? So it's made so much easier for us compared to the Sharia of Musa alayhi salam, which had lots of tough things in it. So we're making this dua. Also, we're making the dua that Allah don't put difficulties on us in our practice of our faith. Let our practice of our faith be easy for us, inshallah. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلَنَا إِنَّا إِسْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ وَلَا الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. Because the practice of faith and commitment to faith was difficult for the people before us. So we ask Allah, don't do that to us. Then, رَبَّنَا, which means, but that means our Lord. Wa and la do not or don't, excellent. Tuhammilna, same root letters. Ha mim lam. But hammala is to give a difficulty, a burden, or to lay a burden that is more like a burden you cannot control. Okay, so like some tragedy in life, some difficulties a person is facing, that is tuhammilna. So this has the same meaning. La tuhammilna, don't lay upon us or on us. Ma here means lay on us what? Ahsantum. How do you know that? By the context, right? By the ayat, what it means. Okay? Don't lay upon us what? La taqata. Taqata means power or strength. La taqata. No power. Excellent. Right? No power or no strength. This is la for not forbidding. This is la for negating. Okay? How do we know that? Look at this. Taqata is an ism. He has a ta marbuta. Fi'il does not have a ta marbuta. So this taqata with the ism tells you that you're negating taqata by la. This is similar to la ilaha. Do you notice that this has a single fatha, right? La ilaha illallah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Exactly the same type of construction, right? Yes or no? Do you notice that just a little bit in the pattern there? So it is no strength. Don't lay on us what we have no strength. Lana means to us or for us. Bihi, with it. I.e., we have no strength to bear it. Don't put on us what we don't have the strength to bear. This is talking about the difficulties of life. The ayah or the dua before spoke about the difficulties of practicing the religion. The dua before is the mistakes that we make as we are living our lives, bearing difficulties. Don't take us to task for that, O Allah. SubhanAllah, how beautiful, how comprehensive. Don't put on us more than what we can bear. Absolutely, don't put upon us what we can't handle. Right? Don't burden us with what we can handle. But the difference is, this is the difficulties of life, whereas this is the difficulties of practicing the religion. We're asking Allah for protection from both. And then we ask Allah, wa'afu anna. What does wa mean again? Wa means, and, alhamdulillah, u'afu is a command tense. from Afa Ya'fu. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni or anna. Ah, there we go. Same exact dua there. Same exact expression. U'fu anna, pardon, you pardon, right? Afa is to erase actually. So it's a pardoning where everything is gone, right? It's all erased. Wa'fu anna, pardon. Anna literally means from us, but the meaning of this together is you pardon us. Okay? Wa and ighfir. What does ighfir mean? Ighfir is you forgive. Ahsantum. You forgive. Alhamdulillah. Lana. What does lana mean? Lana means for us or to us. Very good. Now, this is how the harf jar is used with this fi'l. Waghfir lana, i.e. you forgive us. Okay? To say you forgive us, you say in Arabic, you forgive to us. If you want to say you pardon us, you say in Arabic, you pardon from us. You with me, people? To say have mercy on us, you say have mercy us. Why is that? That's just the way the language is. That's how the verb, the fi'l, is used with the harf jar. Okay. Warhamna wa and irhamna. Translate the whole thing, please. Irhamna from rahima yarhamu. You have mercy on us. Right? You have mercy on us. Ahsantum. Anta. Anta is you. Okay. Maulana. Our protector. Like it's like that. It's like a silly nasheed is popping up in my head when I hear this word Maulana. I should think of something else, but that's the thing that comes to my head. Like something my daughters listen to. Fansurna. Fansurna. Fa. So. Now. Unsur. Nasara. Yansuru. Help us. So help us. So you help us. Ala. What is ala? Upon al-qawmi. The people. Nation. Al-kafirina. The disbelieving or the disbelievers. Okay. Now, the nation, the disbelieving, or the nation, the disbelievers, i.e. the disbelieving people. What is al-qawm al-kafirin, people, grammatically? Man'ut na'at, ahsant. Man'ut na'at, also known as mausuf sifa, yes. But the term we chose to study is man'ut and na'at. Disbelieving people. Okay, so that is that. Walhamdulillah. A quick recap of a whole bunch of concepts. Mulah mulaf ilayhi, pronouns, a bit of na'at man'ut or man'ut na'at, a bit of fa'il fa'il maf'ul. We're gonna keep recapping as we go through, inshallah. And also exposure to some vocabulary. I hope this was beneficial, inshallah, for you. And I hope that you learn this dua. And if not, if you already know it, I hope now you understand what the dua says. People, you're with me. Alhamdulillah. Now we go into Alladhi. And again, keep in mind, because we took a break from Maghrib, we have some time. So don't think time's up. Yes. You know, next time I'm gonna put a clock in my in the thing. Like I'll have a little clock to run here. Like that. Nope, not that. This guy. And that way I know exactly how much time I took. And that's the time we'll add afterwards. But inshallah. That might backfire on me because then sometimes when I go over time, you guys can point to the clock and say the clock says this time. Maybe I'll revisit this idea again. All right. Allavi. Let's go to that one. Allavi. Allavi. Allavi means the one who. The one who. What is Allavi? Is it an ism, a fi'il, or a harf? What is it, people? Allavi is a ism. Ahsantum. It is an ism. As you can see, it has the one in it, right? So it's like it's an ism, it's something, it's a thing or a person, right? Alladhi is an ism. It means the one who. If it is an ism, it has the four properties, right? Yes or no? Yes. Okay. Its status. It says mabni. Let's look at this for a second here, huh? Shall we? Okay, look at this ayah. It says, "Huwa alladhi khalaqa lakum." What does huwa mean? He. Alladhi. The one who, right? If you were to translate this, "Huwa alladhi," what would you get? He is the one who. Ahsanta bradanish, right? He is the one who, right? Huwa would be what grammatically? Starts with an M. Mubtada. Excellent. All right. Standalone pronoun? Absolutely. It is the mubtada. If you might remember, the one of the ways we spot the mubtada is the standalone pronoun is often your mubtada or the first marfu ism. FMI. Remember that? First marfu ism? That's the one right there. First marfu ism, huwa. Alladhi would be the second one, like the one that comes after it. That's your alladhi, and that is your khabar. So alladhi here in this case, as you can see, it is marfu. Huwa alladhi. He is the one who. It is khabar. Okay, just by the way it sounds, or just by the way, excuse me, the meaning works. Okay, let's look at another example. Ayah number 28. Inna alladhi farada alayka al-Qur'ana laradduka ila ma'ad. Surah number 28, Surah Al-Qasas. Okay. Indeed, the one who, inna alladhi. What is the case here? In what is alladhi here? Its status. But the ayah said mansub. How so? Isam inna, isam inna. Very nice. Indeed, it is isam inna. Okay, that was bad. That's all right. Indeed, the one who, isam inna. All right, let's look at a third example of majroor. The third example of majroor is which one? This guy? I think so. Yes, it is this one. Okay. Alam tara ila alladhi حاج إبراهيم في ربه أن آتاه الله الملك. إلى is أي حرف جر الذي اسم مجرور. Right? Okay, very nice. So we see all three instances of الذي. الذي is مرفوع هو الذي. الذي is منصوب إن الذي اسمنا الذي اسم مجرور إلى الذي to the one who correct if الذي looks exactly the same in all three statuses what is الذي it's مبني right it is مبني it does not change its appearance okay the appearance of this word is fixed And that is what Alladhi is for us people. A very important understanding, inshallah. Okay? Now, its status, let's look at Alladhi's number. What is the number for Alladhi? Hint, it's in the translation. Singular. The one, right? Alladhi is the one. So singular. Gender for Alladhi is masculine. Huwa Alladhi. It's masculine. Okay? And its type. Can you tell me what the type is going to be? How so? How is it definite? It has the very nice, brother Asif. Ahsant. Jazakallah khair for coming by. Barakallahu feekum. Welcome. Ahlan wa sahlan. Da, it has that in the translation. It also has al, doesn't it? So yeah, it is definitely definite. That was also bad, but that's all right. So that's the four properties of alladhi. Okay? It is its status, number, gender, type. Now, just like a pronoun, you can see the similarities between it and a pronoun in the sense that the number and gender is going to change as the word changes. Huwa is singular masculine. To make it singular feminine, you can't add a ta marbuta. You have to change the whole word to hiya, right? To make it plural, you have to add, or you can't just add a noon or something. You have to change it from huwa to hum, right? Same thing here for our friend Alladhi. Okay, to make it plural, it is actually what? It becomes Alladhina. It becomes Alladhina. Right? Is that okay? And this is translated as those who, and it is Mabni as well. Okay, it is also Mabni. Alladhina. There's many, many examples of this in the Quran, right? Like, if I was to maybe. Go to this surah. Third ayah Surah Baqarah is very good, yes. I was thinking of something else, but I can't remember right now. Sorry. But yes, let's look at Surah Baqarah. Why not? Okay. Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaib. Right? Hudal lil muttaqeen. Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaib. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ So here, as you can see, الَّذِينَ is describing those who believe. And then here, again, the same expression is used as well. Okay? الَّذِينَ as you can see here, it's mansub. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنَّ is the ism. إِنَّ is the harf nasb. And الَّذِينَ is the ism of إِنَّ. Correct? Alright, so we'll see examples of this more on Thursday, inshallah. But I just wanted to introduce the word alladhina to you all. Now, what is the singular feminine? Anybody know? It is allati. Is it mabni? What do you think, people? Excellent guess. It is in Mabni. The translation of Allati is the one who. But here the one will put feminine. And the plural is Allati, those who. Also feminine. Okay. Now Allati, and there's also another version of this. which is wallahi. I'll copy paste the exact word in like the Quran script here, which is in this Surah Talaq, is where the word is. Let me just copy that and I'll explain that to you in a bit. Both of these words mean the same thing. Allati, sorry, let's start with allati, excuse me. Allati, the one who. Singular, feminine. Plural, allati, those who. Or allai, both of them have the same meaning. Okay, people, are you with me? Allai. Let me try to erase this mud here. Oh, yeah. I can't do it, but that's all right. I'm sure you get the idea there. Allai. Spelling is really difficult sometimes to write from the script. I'll fix it and put it up there because right now I can't even find the right key here. Sorry about that. Okay, now these are the two words that are used for those female who, the plural. Okay, all of these four are mabini. All of these four are mabini. They don't change when they are singular, when they are marfu', mansub, or majroor. They are all the same. Okay, let's look at an example of it from Surah Al-Baqarah. If you look at an example of allati, right here. Question, Brother Salim, is there a grammatical reason why there's no noon for the feminine plural? The noon in the feminine plural, mu'minat, you mean? That one? Okay. Yeah, so noon is generally reserved for like the sound masculine plural, right? And anything that is masculine, that's what the noon is reserved for. Generally speaking. Why is that the case? Well, that's just how the Arab spoke, right? Okay. Fa'illam, so the noon is the noon is generally reserved for sound masculine plural like mu'minuna, mu'minina. However, it is generally okay. It is not for the sound feminine or feminine plurals, and the reason for that is this is how the Arabs spoke. All right. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُ وَلَمْ تَفْعَلُ. If you cannot do it and you can never do it, فَاتَّقُ النَّارَ الَّتِي. Look at that. Fattaqu, then that's from qina. Qi, this is a similar root, or in fact the same root. Ittaqu, protect or guard yourselves from annar. Annar is the fire. Allati, the one who, right? The one who, or in this case, the one which. Because who is used for like people, right? The one which, وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ, the fuel of, the one which, its fuel is people and stones. Now, allati is used here as actually this is a man'ut and allati is a na'at. An-nara is man'ut and allati is a na'at. Why is it allati? Because an-nar is feminine. Nar is feminine. Why is nar feminine? Doesn't have a ta' marbuta. Bas. Yes, absolutely. Right? Okay, so that is annar, feminine, allati, also feminine, as you see that over here, the one who. Okay, now let's look at allati. And then we'll end with that, inshallah. Okay, allati, and we'll end with that. An example of allati from the Quran. A good place to look at it, maybe it was Juz 5. All right. Mostly. As we will see, inshallah, on Thursday, plenty of examples of how a lot of this is going to be manurutnat. Okay? Because it's describing something, right? The one who what, right? So generally, the one who is describing is before it. Right? But it comes as other things too, as we will see. All right, look at this ayah. Hurrimat. What does hurrimat mean? Hurrimat from the word haram, forbidden. Excellent, right? Hurrimat, it's been made haram alaykum upon you. What's been made haram here? It's been forbidden upon you, or it's forbidden to you. Ummahatukum, your mothers. What does that mean? Your mothers are forbidden to you, i.e., in the context of marriage. Exactly, right? And this was a very sick tradition of Jahili Arabs, where they would, marry the stepmothers of their deceased, father. And even today, like, I read some articles about, like, some messed up people, Allah mustan. It makes you, like, want to throw up. Anyway, hurrimat alaykum ummahatukum. Your haram upon you are your mothers. This ayah, by the way, establishes who is your mahram. Right? You know what mahram is, right? Someone who is, you are not allowed to get married to, and thus you don't have to wear a hijab in front of them. Right? That's the idea. People, you with me? Okay, so mothers. Wabanatukum. And your what?
Daughters.
Banat, daughters. The singular for daughters, banat, is bint. Very good. Okay. Wa akhawatukum. And your akhawat. And your sisters. Very good. Now, ammatukum. This is a little, this is a new word for many, maybe. Ammat. Plural of amma. Ammatun, singular. Ammatun, plural. The sisters of your father. Sisters of your father. So this is your aunts from your father's side. In Urdu, we say puppo. Yes, exactly. Ammatukum. Right? Wa khalatukum. Khalatun, plural of khalatun, which is the sisters of the mother. Exactly. Sisters from the mom side, right? So these are all mahram, right? And they're all mahram means haram to get married to. Okay? And this, by the way, applies to ummahat, mothers, and grandmother and great-grandmother, banat, daughter, granddaughter, akhawat, sister, and sisters, kids will come in the later on the ayah. But anybody who is like, what's it called? It's like they say, wa in ala, like whether it goes up or down, it is included in this idea of mother and of the daughters. Okay. Banatul akhi. Banatul akhi. The reason why it's not included in like akhawat and ammat is because your dad's mom and your Aunt's mom are the same. So they're included anyway, right? Wabanatul akhi, the daughters of your brother, correct? And anyone that your daughters, like this is your nieces, right? Like any offspring your nieces have, specifically the daughters of the brother, any offspring they have, they are also mahram to you, because they become banatul akh. They're actually like the daughters of your brother. Wa banatul ukht, and the daughters of the sister, right? Here al akh is used in the singular and al ukht is used in the singular, but the daughters of the brother and daughters of the sister, i.e. your nephews and nieces from your brother or from your sister. Make sense? And this is their offspring as well, right? Their offspring are also mahram to you. So your niece, your blood niece, like your daughter's, your brother's daughter, for example, her kids are your mahram as well. Or your blood nephew, like your, say, brother's son, all of his kids are your mahram, okay? And grandkids and so on and so forth, okay? Wa ummahatukum, and ummahatukum, your mothers. Why is this repeating? Ummahatukum here, why is this repeating? Inshallah, I'll end in like 1 minute, please. Ummahatukum allati, your mothers, those who, you see, allati comes here to explain. Manut na'at, ahsantum, very nice. Arda'nakum, your mothers who, arda'nakum, fostered you, breastfed you. Okay, so in Islam, if a mother has breastfed, or a woman has breastfed a baby, I believe it is 5 full breastfeedings. Don't quote me on the fiqh there. I might be mistaking it. then that child becomes as if it's her blood, offspring. Okay? This is called rada'a, or becoming brothers and sisters through breastfeeding. Okay? And this is one way to establish mahram. For example, if you're adopting a child, this could be a possibility, right? Like say a couple doesn't have a child, but like the sister of the, say they want to adopt a daughter, right? So the sister of the husband, assuming, there is a sister there, if she is breastfeeding, then that's the time that you should adopt, because then that sister of the brother can breastfeed that girl, and then by default that becomes this man's niece, and now there is no need for hijab, right? Brother's wife, sure, the brother's wife can do it, the husband, if the wife can do it, but oftentimes the couple adopting don't, like the woman is not pregnant, right? So she can't breastfeed. If she can't have babies, she won't be lactating, exactly. Right, so as long as the rada'a is established by somebody who is already your mahram, that child becomes your mahram as well. So that's a nice workaround, if possible, for those who adopt. We ask Allah to make things easy for everybody. Wa akhawatukum min ar-rada'a, and your sisters from rada'a. Ummahatu nisa'ikum, the mothers of your wives. Nisa here is referring to wives. Wa raba'ibukum allati, again allati, you notice that raba'ibukum, raba'ib is your stepdaughter, okay? Your stepdaughter is the ones who fi hujurikum min nisa'ikum allati dakhaltum bihin, who are from, they are the daughters of your wives that you have been intimate with. Once a man has been intimate with another woman, all of her children, all of her, the children that she's ever had, become mahram to this man. And once a couple marries, and you know, just by the virtue of marriage, that person, that like that that the girl's mother, the mother-in-law, becomes a mahram, ummahatu nisaikum, and becomes a mahram even after divorce. By the way, even after divorce. So this is all these interesting rulings are here. But the interesting thing for us to learn here is allati, as you can see, is used to clarify who are these women in plural. Okay, inshallah. So that is a brief introduction into allati, allai, allati, allavi, and allathina. Okay. Allati arda'anakum. Now the second word, ahsan, brother Asif, you notice that. Arda'anakum. What is arda'anakum doing? If you notice in the translation, I put who dot dot dot. Because you know what? There's something coming on Thursday that if I introduced today would have been the onion peeled or chopped even. Because you've been like, no. So on Thursday, you'll be ready for it, inshallah. I'll explain what arda'anakum, why that is there, and why there's those three dots after who, inshallah. Okay? However, not the divorced wife. Yes, the divorced wife is obviously no longer mahram. All right. Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullahu khairan. I will see you all, inshallah ta'ala, on Thursday. Thank you for giving me the time to finish up on this topic. Oh, alhamdulillah. I also missed this class. I'm really happy that you were all back. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm happy the car is warmed up. And Thursday, we're going to put it, you know, through its paces, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.